Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Discover a world where unexpected blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. However, you will eventually have to. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
Come in, guys. Patriots post-game show. Evan Lazar in Foxborough. John Zanis here, and we're going to talk about it's hard to say anything but an impressive win over one of the top teams in the AFC, albeit a wounded one. Patriots 36-13 over Tennessee. Now with an 8-4 record, similar, same record as Tennessee, half a game behind Baltimore that plays tonight. Patriots could find themselves in the one seed by the end of the day, which is almost unthinkable if you go back about 6 weeks ago. So, Evan, we were just talking about it offline, but this does feel like an old school sort of Patriots win. It's close. It's not perfect. A lot of things you'd like to see them do differently. And all of a sudden, the other team kind of pukes all over itself and bang, you go from a one score to a three score game. And the final score here makes this look like a laugher, and it really wasn't. But, all in all, it's hard to be disappointed by anything, you saw with the Patriots.
Yeah, two things here. One, big picture-wise. One, this is the type of win that Bill Belichick's going to absolutely love because he's got all this tape now to bring in on Monday morning and Tuesday morning to his team and say, hey, we got to do this better. We got to do that better. The run defense had all sorts of issues fitting up the run here today. 270 yards, I think it was, or something crazy like that on the ground for Tennessee without Derrick Henry. This is Dontrell Hilliard and a couple of other backup practice squad type of guys. Dante Foreman running for 270 on you in this game. So that's going to be item number one, I'm sure, on Belichick.
Why did that happen? And I didn't want to dwell on that. I'm just, yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah, we can go over that in a second, too. And I just want to quickly also say, so you love the fact that you can go in there, you can correct everything. But at the end of the day, you outclass Tennessee by the end of the, the end of the fourth quarter there, and you win 36-13. So you take the easy W at this point of the season. I think we got caught in this a little bit as well in the Brady era at plenty of times where you want style points, right? You want the best possible outcomes every single week. You want everything to be perfect. But at this point in the season, take the W, right? Take the win. Go ahead, put the win in your pocket. You're 8-4. You're in a great place now for the playoff hunt. And in the AFC, you got Buffalo next week on Monday Night Football. You'll have to play better there, certainly, to get that win. But you take the W's this time of year, and you don't get so caught up in it wasn't pretty here, it wasn't pretty there. You're in week 12. You're in the grind of the season. We can worry about style points when we get to the playoffs, right? When they get to the postseason and we're in January and it's win or go home, that's when you can worry about the execution in all phases being perfect.
It's less about the style points. I think when you are looking at this game, if you're a Patriots fan, you're thinking – it doesn't matter in that regard. What does matter is, can you beat it? Can you win a game against a good team when they don't do as many things to hurt themselves as these guys did here today? If you look at it and you just go drive by drive here from the, they opened up with a punt, but after that, a touchdown and a missed extra point, a missed field goal. They fumbled in Patriots territory on their next drive. Then they got that touchdown again at the long run near the end of the half. In the second half, they open up and the Patriots have the ball and Tennessee drops an easy pick six, just walk into the end zone from 70 something yards out, fumble, punt, interception in the end zone, turnover on downs, fumble. You know, that's a ton of things to do to yourself. And I know a lot of those are caused. You know, those balls were stripped out. The Patriots were hunting for the ball, and they got it on both of those occasions. But, I mean, there was a lot of, like, massive momentum-shifting plays in this game that if it goes in the other direction, it's a completely different ball game. And the Patriots seem to, with the exception of allowing that big touchdown run at the end of the half, seem to benefit from almost all of them.
Yeah, they made some great plays to turn over the football on defense. Certainly right. The goal line stand, that was pretty much the icing on the cake in this game. That put the game warm up, the buses, that sort of thing. And you look at some of the situational stuff that the defense was able to do with the turnovers, just the headiness to J.C. Jackson coming from the other side of the field to strip Foreman on that one play. Right. Negates a huge running play, a big momentum play for the Titans, and the Patriots end up forcing a fumble and recovering it. So some great turnovers for the defense. But if you want to go to the run defense, which again, 270 yards on the ground without Derrick Henry, I think the number one thing that I saw, first of all, the 68-yarder, I put that 110% on the coaches because the players were not prepared for that play, right? They just weren't prepared from a personnel standpoint. They're in third and three, and the Patriots put their pass-rushing front out there. Christian Barmore is the only defensive lineman with his hand in the dirt, not exactly a Vince Wilfork, right? Christian Barmore is not known for his run defense yet, and he's in there as the only guy down. They run a delayed draw on third and three. They catch the defense completely sleeping on it. And then Devin McCourty takes a pretty poor angle at the back end there, too, to save the touchdown. And the play goes for a 68-yard touchdown. That was a systemic failure, right? The coaching was poor in that situation, poor awareness on the field by the players, poor personnel grouping out there for the situation. Just a terrible play. But all around for the Patriots. The other thing that I really saw out of the run defense that was a little bit more worrisome, I would say, than one play getting broken off for 68 yards like that. Usually that's just a one-off sort of thing. The Patriots used this strategy, and it felt like the Titans were ready for it, where when you run those outside zone stretch plays against this defense, that play side linebacker off the ball, he's going to come down, whether it's Hightower or Bentley, and he's going to try to blow up the front side of the play, right? He's just going to come down at the line of scrimmage and go full force into the offensive line. And what that's going to do is it's going to set the edge and force the ball carrier to cut back into the middle of the defense, which is where the Patriots want the ball to be, because that's where their big guys like Lawrence Guy and Devon Godshaw and their big linebackers are there to clean up the play. The problem was that backside pursuit was not coming. And I think the one thing that the Titans did that was a nice little game plan type of wrinkle, I'm assuming, from Vrabel and Todd Downing, was they were getting that backside guard up onto that second level linebacker in a hurry. They were putting him through right away. So you look at a lot of these plays, watch the linebackers, right? Watch Hightower and Bentley. And when they fire that guy at the line of scrimmage play side, watch that backside linebacker. 9 times out of 10 in this game, he's getting blocked by an offensive lineman 9-10 yards past the line of scrimmage. And that was a big reason why the fit didn't work. So they're going to run downhill at you, right? They're going to try to get that linebacker to blow it up and cut that ball back inside. But if there is nothing on that backside, if they're not closing down from the backside, then that cutback lane is going to be wide open. And that's what we saw quite a few times here today.
Yep, a lot. And, you know, it's, you know, they're going to look back at that one and, you know, that's obviously going to be the area of focus this week. And just wondering, how did that happen?
Whenever you hear Bill Belichick talk about this, right, that he always says, whether the analytics gurus and the nerds want to agree with it or not, right, he always comes in there and says, we got to stop the run. That's priority number one. That's what every single player on the Patriots roster says defensively. So all the coaches say, we got to stop the run. When you give up 270 rushing yards in a game, that, you know, he's pissed off about that, right? And he didn't come up to the podium, Belichick, after the game. And he was in all sunshines and rainbows. And he has been at times this year after big blowout wins. A couple weeks ago when they blew out Cleveland, that was a game where Belichick was all smiles, all excited, right, all happy and giddy about his team. Today he was not. And I guarantee you it was because they gave up 270 rushing yards.
Yeah. And that's just the negative. We'll take that and put it aside. Again, at the end of the day, a positive game for the Patriots. It's hard to not point to this because this was such an eye-popping total. And it is what it is. And look, you say it's cliche, stop the run, establish the run. Patriots, it isn't. I mean, you know, the Patriots are one of the few, if not only team, that actually has at least up until a week ago, ran the ball more than they passed the ball. So the importance of running the ball, stopping the run is something that the team, you know, fully understands. They had a tough time running the ball themselves today, but luckily, Mac
was cooking.
This is the let Mac cook sort of game. And you can tell
I said it. Yes.
Vrabel, but you know, you knew Mike Vrabel was going to not want to get, you know, he didn't want the Patriots to do what he did to them, actually, which was to, you know, have them just control the clock and just, pound the ball down, down their throats. And they did a good job stopping the run, but Mac made the throws that he had to make today. He had a couple. Again, that turnover, that almost pick six, is the one that stands out the most, is like the yeesh sort of throw. He missed Hunter Henry on what should have been a touchdown. Take those two away, for the most part, I mean, he had a really clean game and made some excellent throws all game long.
Yeah, you start to look at the box score numbers and just the production, you know, advanced metrics to EPA, completion percentage over expected. This was a Mac was cooking, right? He was cooking. He averaged over 9.7 yards per attempt, 0.38 EPA per play, is 87th percentile in that metric. So whatever way you slice it, pass yards per attempt, total yards, you know, whatever, Mac played a great game here today. And I think the couple of plays that you want to come back from, or Mac would want back, I should say, obviously the Hunter Henry touchdown was a big one. You mentioned the dropped interception. That one wasn't so great. And then obviously the sack by Byard, which is the one thing that I've consistently seen Mac struggle with, is handling those delayed pressures from the second level. And it's mostly zone pressure. And what they're doing is they're,
when somebody comes late,
they're bringing them late. And I think a lot of people look at plays like that and they say, oh, well, why didn't the offensive line pick him up? Or why didn't the running back and blitz pick him up? It's not his responsibility, Brandon Bolden's responsibility, to pick up the safety from 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. Right? When they set the protection, they say, okay, these five guys, we're going to get these five dudes blocked. If anybody else comes, Mac, you're hot. Right,
it's got to get out. Right, exactly. Right,
the ball, that's on the quarterback. But when these five guys come or in that situation, they overloaded it was a nice design by the Titans. They overloaded the right side of the offensive line, and they dropped the player off of that right side overload and blitzed the safety up the gut. And it was a nice design by them to get everybody occupied on the right side and the center. They put somebody right over David Andrews and occupied him as well. And they sent Byard up the gut. It looked to me just the broadcast angle, see how open he was on the all-22. But Hunter Henry right over the ball looks like he's open for kind of an outlet type of pass against that blitz. And Mac just needs to see those things a little bit faster. But in terms of the actual throws, when you go through it, the deep ball to Jacoby Myers with Byard closing down quickly on that play, gets it in there, hits all sorts of receivers off of play action. Jonnu Smith had a couple crossing routes, hits Myers on the sail. Really just a very, very good passing performance from Mac. But I think, again, it was two steps forward, one step back to a degree, because you do look at some of the situations, right? Third down, red zone. The Patriots weren't good enough in those areas. And I think some of that was on the play calling. They got a little bit conservative, especially in the first half, running the football down in the red zone when that clearly wasn't working. But you go 4 for 10 on third down. But most importantly, you go 2 for 5 in the red zone. And those are going to be areas where the Patriots are going to need to improve. And that one blitz, it's called gut two because it's cover two with the middle safety blitzing right up the middle, and Kevin Byard in this case. Atlanta got him with the same blitz last week. The Patriots have to correct that, right? They have to get that corrected. But overall, we're talking about rookie things, right? We're talking about little things here or there that with a rookie quarterback, these breakdowns are going to happen. And he played extremely well on the whole.
Yeah, no, and again, it's little things, but, you know, they were talking about something David Andrews said during the week, too, about, like, we got to get on Mac's page and we got to get to his level. It's obvious right now that Mac Jones is seeing things at a super high level. You're right. Some of these are rookie things when it's, picking up that delayed blitz are also just situational football. You know, a couple of times where you just can't take that sack. One which knocked them out of field goal range after a Titans turnover, which was just a really bad one. You know, you had, you know, those are ones where you're just taking points off the board for yourself. So you just have to do something. You know, I don't know if he's not seeing it or he's just thinking, if I just have a, if he thinks he has a split second more time than he does and needs to get rid of it. But yeah, you definitely clean a couple of those things off. But again, it's just, you keep seeing like those, you know, what we didn't see earlier in the year, you know, were those throws, you know, like, and now you're starting to see him make some throws.
That throw to Myers, and Myers again, said after the game that
he didn't even know it was coming. Right?
Yeah, he's clearing out space. He doesn't think he's even going to get the football.
Which you can see because he lost his balance and lost his feet. If he did know it was coming, he might have walked into the end zone on that one. It was such a beautiful ball.
Right, and you look at that and you see, you know, just the willingness to push it down the field wasn't necessarily there in the first couple of weeks of the season, especially on a throw over 35 yards in the air, right? Maybe he was willing to dagger one between cover two on like an 18, 19 yard dart or something like that. But over the top of the defense like that really wasn't there at the beginning of the year. So that was a nice play from him. Overall, it just, every single week you can stack together all the throws. The throws off of play action are always really impressive to me as well, because you have to make quick reads and quick decisions with the football, because those linebackers are dropping off into those underneath coverages. And if that ball isn't out instantly once he hits the top of the drop, then they're going to fall underneath it and take away those throws. Hits Johnny on a couple of crossers off play action that were nice. The Kendrick Bourne's first touchdown, a nice play, right, to loft it over there, you know, put it on a platter for Bourne and give him a chance to go ahead and make that catch. And then the second touchdown to Bourne as well. Henry clears out the underneath zone. Bourne crosses or drags underneath into it, and he puts the ball right on him, lets him run it after the catch with it, leads him up the field. And, you know, those are the types of little plays, right? It's a short throw. It's 5 yards in the air or something like that. But the ball placement allows him to go ahead and run with it after the catch. And that's important as well.
I know. And I don't want to get into the Cam Newton comparisons from last year, but again, this was an underrated trait, you know, that you realized how much you missed it from the Tom Brady years of being able to place the ball exactly where it needed to be on these really short or, you know, underneath throws to allow your receiver to do something with one, to make the catch, and not get blown up immediately, but also give him a position to get some yak. And again, Mac really puts those throws right on the money, makes some really nice touch throws. And that short stuff, while, you know, national media or critics or whatever who might just look at it and say, oh, dink and dunk, you know, sort of stuff, that stuff's really important. It really is one of probably the most underrated quarterback skill, which is ball placement on some of those short touch throws.
When we have to nitpick, a blitz here, an overthrow there, and then you look at the hole and you say, wow, 310 yards, two TDs, 123 rating. This was a really good Mac Jones performance against a Titans defense that had some linebackers out, right? No Rashawn Evans, no David Long. But for the most part, that was the Titans defense out there today, right? That was 9/11 of the Titans defense, if you will. It was most of their starters out there. Jeffrey Simmons played, Byard played, you know, Harold Landry played. Yeah. So a lot of their big guys played today, and Mac Jones diced them apart for the most part.
Yeah, no, it was definitely impressive. And again, You look at some of the things they didn't do and think about cleaning it up. But again, a really impressive win overall against a quality opponent. And so, like I said, prior to all of the injuries, we felt like this was one the Patriots could and possibly should win coming in. Definitely with how depleted the Titans were on offense, you are disappointed to see the 270 and the rush yards, because I thought they were going to hold this team to, you know, 200 total yards of offense today, and you know Tennessee wouldn't be able to move the ball at all. But again, you know, Tannehill's under 100 yards; they really couldn't get anything going through the air. How much of that was strategy there? Because you would have think they'd try to force them to throw, and it kind of went in the other direction.
Yeah, I. the run defense was just a nightmare. I don't even think that it was necessarily anything that the Titans did differently than what the Patriots thought they were going to do going into the game. I mean, the Patriots opened the game in base. Right?
That's what I mean is you would dare them to throw. You open the game in base, which they don't do. They open every game in nickel. And that's what I mean. Yeah. I don't understand how that happened because you wanted to bait them into throwing because you knew that would be to your advantage. And instead they just ran it right at the Patriots. Yeah.
Yeah. They opened the game in base, and that very first drive, Tannehill dink and dunked his way, not the first one, the second drive, excuse me. They went on that 14 play touchdown drive, and a lot of short throws by Tannehill were gaining a lot of yards underneath in the zone coverages. They're running play action, and Tannehill was just taking the check downs, right? He was taking the short
credit
to
Vrabel
over
there.
The middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Credit to Vrabel and Tannehill for being patient on that drive. Yep. They were dinking and dunking their way down the field. The next drive out, the Patriots went from first down or early down base for the most part right to big nickel. And once they got into big nickel, I mean three safety nickel, right? Duggar, Phillips, and Devin McCourty all on the field with two corners.
Yep.
Once they got into that big nickel, they couldn't stop the run.
Not Victor Green, big nickel.
Yeah. They couldn't stop the run out of big nickel. And that was really where the game flip-flopped into the Titans being able to run the football at will. So it was, this was as bad. I can't think of another game where the Patriots were as poor against the run as they were in this game today, because this was not, we're going to put our safeties back, we're going to allow you to run the football and gain 6 yards per carry, but we're not going to allow you to throw the ball and create explosives in the passing game. The Patriots were putting eight guys in the box. The Patriots were playing base defense early on in this game. The Patriots were trying to stop the run, and they just couldn't. I haven't seen the Bill Belichick team be that poor against the run when they were trying to defend the run, right? Not when they were just willfully giving it to you and handing it out like candy. This was we got bodied. We got absolutely bodied. And that is a disappointing thing to come away from this game, because their run defense really over the last month since the Chargers
really
game, they had turned it around. They stopped. They had a bad first drive against Cleveland, but then they turned that around. Atlanta and Carolina had no chance of running the football on them. They get to this point now and the run defense looks like a problem again.
And that's the thing that's going to it's certainly not, you know, facing Buffalo two out of the next three games. You don't have much of a rushing attack, but you do have
the Colts.
The Colts with Taylor there. And you really wanted to feel good about that run game being buttoned up. Cause again, those guys, you know, they were able to run it at the Bucks today, and score a lot of points, even though it took a little while to get them going. You certainly want to have it cleaned up by the time you face Indy coming up out of the bye. And it felt like they had. Other thing I thought, if we're going to nitpick a tad, I do think once again, Patriots kind of came out very conservative with the idea that I understand the philosophy. There's not enough firepower power on the other side to beat us. So let's do it this way. Let's be smart. Let's take care of the football. Twice they get inside the 10-yard line to start the game, and they run on first and second down there. They got, I wouldn't say lucky, but you had a nice catch by Bourne on a tough throw and probably a low percentage type of throw there on that one. And then they kind of attempt something similar with Henry that doesn't go for a score there, you know, throwing it to the outside in single coverage where only the receiver can get it.
Yeah.
Very clear. They wanted to do that. I think they had a fourth and short where they also didn't try to go for it. So again, conservative here. I understand you're looking at the opponent on the other side for not the way you wanted to do it. But it was obvious that's what they wanted to do. And again, I think Mike Vrabel knew it, and which is why they were so effective, able to stop the run early in the game. Patriots really couldn't get anything going on the ground. And I think Tennessee knew that they were going to try very, very, very hard to win the game that way. So, hats off to Vrabel, who's coached really well almost every single time that he's gone up against Belichick. Pretty good idea. You know, he does a good job anticipating what's coming from the other side. At the end of the day, they just didn't have the horses to compete.
Yeah. Earlier this week, we spoke to Vrabel, and he was handing out all sorts of praise to the Patriots running game. The receivers are the best run blocking receivers in the NFL. Yep. They got
hats
great
off to Myers,
great offensive
guys.
Line, yep. great yep. running game. So you knew coming into this game that Vrabel wasn't going to let the Patriots run the ball effectively. Yep. And this is a very good Titans run defense. So in my game plan in the podcast with that on Patriots Beat with Alex, we talked about letting Mac cook early in this game, letting Mac throw the football early.
And I thought Belichick might try that a little bit.
And try to get a lead, because we knew that the only way that this was going to be a competitive game is if the Patriots kept this a low scoring affair. If this was a game that was being played in the teens and the Titans were going to have a chance, as soon as the Patriots started putting up points, right, they get to 36 points and the Titans had no chance of scoring that many points. So I thought early on in this game, if you let Mac Jones cook a little bit, you throw to get up on the scoreboard, you get up by two or three scores. Now all of a sudden the game's over by halftime, right? But unfortunately, the Patriots, on one instance, they get into the goal line, first and eight from the Tennessee 8-yard line, going right into the end zone. They go two straight running plays for 4 yards, and then you're in third and four in the condensed red area. It's difficult to throw the ball down there. You got to throw because you're not going to gain 4 yards on the ground in that situation. And they go, don't convert on third down. They kick a field goal. Then they go back into the red zone in the next drive. They run it on second and 10 to nowhere. Then it's third and nine inside the red zone again. And they stall out and they kick another field goal. So just looking at some of those early conservative play calling, Mac was cooking in the first half. Yeah. And he was on fire, right? I mean, he was throwing for 11, 12 yards per attempt at one point. And then every single time they got into the red zone, they went to that run game. And I get it. They want to run the football down inside the 10-yard line. They want to be bully ball. They want to muscle the football in there. And that's sort of the identity of the team. But as the Patriots know better than anybody, sometimes the matchup doesn't favor that, right? Sometimes the matchup favors throwing the ball, or sometimes the matchup favors running outside instead of inside. And I thought they could have done that a little bit more today, which was attacking the edges of the Titans defense instead of just running right into the teeth of the Titans defense, which is the strength of this team. So it wasn't exactly the best play calling early on in the game. And that would probably be the only other than the run defense, the early play calling was not great. And I think that 2-for-5 number in the red zone, at least two of those was on Josh McDaniels, if you ask me.
Yeah. And so there is, you run into that. And again, I understand it because they were trying. I think they were looking at the opponent and the last thing they wanted to do was give away points. And what did we say during the week? I think it was, you don't expect Tennessee to get over 20. So the Patriots were trying to get to about 23 today, in their mind. And that's really all they needed. So take three when you can get three, make sure you're not leaving anything on the board. And, that was as much discipline as it was conservative play calling. But again, I if a guy has 80 something percent completion percentage, I view that as conservative. It's low risk, it's you're putting enough faith in Mac that he's just not a turnover machine and he's going to make the right decisions. So I do think that you can open it up a little bit on the play calling.
We are back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Individual performances, obviously, and again, it wasn't quite a breakout performance, but they tried to get Jonnu Smith involved early, the Jonnu Smith revenge game. I mean, again, 49 yards for him is a bonanza based on what it's been going, but really nothing in the second half. Most of this stuff happened early. Good to see him get involved nonetheless, I would say.
Honestly,
take what you can get.
This offense, and I tweeted this out after the first drive, they don't have the number one guy, right? They don't have the Devontae Adams. They don't have the Tyreek Hill, but they have seven or eight guys that can contribute in multiple ways in any given week. And the one thing that this offense has going for it, and then you combine that with the quarterback and Mac Jones, who's a good distributor, is they can put the ball in multiple guys' hands and attack you in multiple different ways. And I think Jonnu, although the numbers don't pop off the page at you, at least he gave you something today in that vein where the crossers off of play action, the one jet sweep handoff that he took for 9 yards was at the time for a while there until the fourth quarter, the Patriots' most successful play on the ground was that Jonnu Smith handoff. So you look at some of the different things that they were able to do with their tight ends. If you factor into this, that if Hunter Henry catches that touchdown pass from Mac Jones and the ball isn't overthrown, and the stats from the tight ends look even better, right? Then you're talking about almost 100 receiving yards, a touchdown from Smith and Henry. So I thought those two guys did their jobs and contributed. Hunter Henry made some plays on third down late in the game, a third down conversion like he has all year. So yeah, this is what the Patriots want out of Jonnu. It's not $13 million worth, right? They're paying him $13 million, $17 million in total cash this year. And that's not a $17 million player, right? Three catches for 49 yards and one carry for nine is not $17 million worth of production. Nobody's saying that. But when you have a little bit of Jonnu and a little bit of Bourne and a little bit of Myers and a little bit of Henry, and you got the running backs and you mix it all together, it's a lot to defend. It's not necessarily one superstar athlete out there, but it is a lot to defend.
Yeah, and the guy who does keep coming up big again is Bourne here, who is the team's leading receiver in terms of yardage and possibly receptions, but yardage for sure. No, Myers, I think receptions, but just what he was able to do there, you know, just on both of those touchdowns, he's just definitely a guy who makes plays. I know in the post game show, he was referred to as a little energizer bunny, the guy who really kind of like provides that spark and gets things going. And you know, he did it again today.
Yeah. The catch, his first touchdown, just a great contested catch going above.
Really tough catch. And
that's
a
tough catch. Yeah. I think the one thing that definitely has taken me by surprise is, honestly, his whole game has taken me by surprise in a lot of ways, because I knew he was a good route runner. I knew he was a tough route runner. Like, he would go over the middle of the field and he'd make those tough catches in traffic and he'd take hits and move the chains and be a steady presence. But the contested catch ability and the yards after catch are not things that I expected that they were going to get out of Kendrick Bourne when they signed him. He's a far more explosive player in space with the ball in his hands than I think anybody ever expected. And maybe on that touchdown, the second one, he said after the game, you know, I thought I was going to get tackled, right? You know, everybody thinks he's going to get tackled, and he somehow just keeps going and never gets tackled. So it's impressive to watch him do things and add to his game. You know, this player with the 49ers was not a yak receiver. He was not a jump ball in the end zone, you know, smash, you know, under fade type of concept, right? He wasn't that guy. Right. He wasn't the guy that they were throwing the ball up to inside the 5 yard line. He's developed into that kind of player for the Patriots. And it's really been, it's been a pleasant surprise, because I thought he was going to be kind of that steady Eddie, you know, average, what, 9-10 yards per reception or something like that, and not be necessarily the explosive play guy in this offense. He's turned into the most explosive receiver that the
Patriots
offense
has. Which is insane. Right. Yeah. That's the thing, is that he's a, you know, leader in yardage. And again, we're not talking a huge number, but coming in, you know, he's up over 600 yards. He's doing it on relatively few catches. He's the guy who's provided you a lot of big plays for this offense, which is not what you expected. You were getting, you thought you were getting a Myers like sort of, you know, possession guy who could run some, and he's not very fleet of foot. You know, this is not a 4.3 40 guy at all. But yeah, he's definitely a playmaker, which the team sorely needs. So those two guys, Meyer, Jacoby, again, had an all-around solid game, just short of 100 yards. The other individual performance is definitely worth talking about on the defensive side of the ball is J.C. Jackson, who just can't stop
Mr. Ball Magnet
doing
stuff. It's crazy.
And I know Bill in the post game said, you know, he's the garbage man. If you leave something laying out, he's going to pick it up. Again, he just does it again. In this case, it was the forced fumble, right? He didn't pick that one up. He forced it coming back on that play. It was picked up by Mills. which was a great play by him. Great, very alert. Yeah. And then again, I don't know, you know, what you think on that pass. Was he going to get there anyway if McCourty doesn't tip it? It was close.
So it's a really well-defended play. The Patriots had it defended perfectly.
They did. They weren't surprised by it. But
no, it's like a bootleg action.
But if he lofts it a little higher, if there's too much air on it, I think JC gets under it. And McCourty was right in the right place for it and seemed to have his eyes on the quarterback the whole time. So I don't think that pass was getting through. But again, Jackson, the beneficiary of the tip.
Yeah, yeah. So he's sitting there in the crosser window. Devin McCourty is, right? They know that they're running the bootleg.
Yep.
They know they're trying to cross the receiver. Yep. Right. So he sits right there in the crosser window and makes Ryan Tannehill throw around him, right? You got him right here. You can't throw it where you want to throw it. It's going to have to be a little bit off. And I think the thing that makes it so unbelievable is that JC is just always seems to catch these deflections, like,
which is really hard to do.
Yeah, it's bonkers to me,
especially in such short. Yeah, it's unreal. Yeah. The one last week was insane.
Yeah,
because that was so quick. But this one, But he's it's amazing.
He tips it up in the air. JC is running full speed in the other direction. He tips it up in the air, and he's somehow able to come back and catch it like that. He is. A ball, there's the ball magnet doesn't even do it justice. He is a ball super magnet, right? Right. I mean, this guy, the ball just comes to him in bunches. It's really impressive.
He's gravity. Okay.
He is. And
it's automatic. It's coming to him, you know?
Yeah. And I'm really interested to see, you know, what the Patriots end up doing. And I know we're talking about this team this year right now on this show in particular, so I won't go too long on this, but I'm really interested to see what the team does with JC Jackson at the end of the year. Unrestricted free agent, a guy that is absolutely balled out for the Patriots. He leads the league in interceptions since stepping on the field in 2018. Nobody in the NFL has more interceptions than JC Jackson. Yeah. But that player, the undrafted free agent that Belichick turns into a star, it's not the guy they typically pay, right? If he takes a Jonathan Jones type of contract, that's, you know, Jones takes a nice, but not
Malcolm didn't get paid.
Right. Malcolm Butler doesn't get paid. You know, it's not typically what Belichick's typical operating procedure. And maybe with a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal with some money to play with, the Patriots treat the situation differently. But it's not the guy that they usually back up the Brinks truck for. But if anybody has earned it the hard way, it is definitely JC Jackson. And I think all of us fans, media, everybody covering the team, we all hope that they pay JC, because he has been fantastic for them.
Yeah, I mean, he did the thing no agent wants his client to do ever, and this week publicly say that he loves it here and wants to stay in New England forever, and you know his agent's sitting there.
You're welcome for that quote.
You know the agent's like, no, you know, right. That one was Evan. Evan was the guy who asked that question.
Yeah.
But you know, he says that, which again opens that window where if you're the Patriots, you seize on that. You're like, okay, willing to play ball. If market is going to be 16, 17 million, can we get him for 14? Can we get him for 13? Is that worth it?
Well, if he hits unrestricted free agency, the market's going to be $18 million.
18 plus 18 is probably the franchise number. I'm just saying
the franchise tag is 17 ish right now. So the Patriots, if they can get him at 16, 17 million per year, that's a discount. That's
the reason I said 16, a top five corner, the market is 18, but you're wondering if other teams look at him the same way you're looking at him, or the Patriots might, which is, this isn't a guy with a pedigree. I wonder how much of it is the system. I wonder how much of it is ball luck. Maybe he's not a true number one. And I don't know if he may be looked at kind of as a second class citizen and not that top dollar guy. Sure. So maybe the money's a little less. Maybe they know that. They've in the past done the go out and find your deal and then come back to us thing with these guys. Right. Franchising is also obviously on the table here if they wanted to. But given the fact that JC wants to stay, you'd like to think that maybe they can get there without having to do that, and find that right number, whatever that is, with enough money up front to make everybody happy. So, yeah, that would be nice if that were the case. We do have to look ahead now. Yes. And what's interesting, again, is right now the Patriots could be the number one seed if the Browns beat the Ravens tonight, which is insane at 8-4, three-way tie with them, with the Ravens and the Tennessee Titans with the 8-4 records. But really, what it comes down to, not at all comes down to, but two out of the next three games are against the Buffalo Bills, which is going to basically decide or, you know, play heavily into the division and or the playoffs. I think most fans would feel pretty good about a split. You know, whether you that happens or not, you know, we'll see. You can only play one at a time, and it's next week in Buffalo. Buffalo got right a little bit this last week after looking a little bit off here. So just a quick sneak peek preview into this game. And Evan, for everybody out there, Evan will be traveling out to Buffalo for this game as well as the Colts game after the bye. You know, obviously stay with us for coverage leading up to that game. But just your thoughts looking ahead right now.
Yeah, quick correction. It's Monday night, not Sunday.
Monday night. Thank you. Don't want to confuse people.
Monday night football. But I do want to...
Monday night. My bad. Saturday. And the Colts game is now a Saturday game.
It's confusing. Yeah, I got you. But I just didn't want everybody to be confused and set their timers or their clocks for the wrong time. It's Monday night football game against Buffalo next week. But I think the two things that I look at stylistically from this game, number one, I think the most important thing is we've seen, other than today, today is a bad example, I guess, coming off this game. But for the most part, when the Patriots have been able to put heavy personnel on the field defensively, they've been a bit better, right? The linebackers have eaten, that front seven has eaten. This Buffalo team is an 11 personnel team, sometimes even four wide receivers on the field at once, right? They run three wide, four wide. They are a new age offense. They don't want to run the football. They don't care about running the football.
They throw in any situation.
They throw in bunches. Yeah. They throw in bunches. And I am very curious to see how this Patriots pass defense holds up against a team that is going to spread the field, going to make you play dime defense most likely for most of this game. And there's going to be, you know, this is not a Juwan Bentley game. Right, Juwan Bentley, maybe he plays on first down, but other than that, he's not going to play a ton in this game. I'm not even sure this is a big Dante Hightower game either, to be honest with you. So some of your key guys that have really spearheaded this six-game winning streak and been a huge part of what you've done over the last month plus, this is not their type of game. So how did this Patriots defense defend? What is the structure? What does it look like when they're playing dime defense against a pass heavy team? I think the game plan that you might be able to borrow some from is not, you know, obviously you can borrow from the Colts and the Jaguars in terms of the teams that Buffalo has played and maybe borrow some things from how they confuse Josh Allen. But looking back at that Chargers game for the Patriots against Justin Herbert, another team, they ran the ball on the Patriots a little bit, but it was really just two or three big runs. It wasn't a whole lot of runs in between. So that game was a little bit more pass heavier, an offense that you were kind of loaded up to stop the pass a little bit more. So how this Patriots team plays the Bills out of dime and how this works out from them personnel wise is going to be fascinating. Two high safeties, rotate the safety into the box late, show cover two, show quarters, play a bunch of those types of looks. That's how these other teams like the Colts and the Jaguars have eaten Josh Allen up, right? That's how they've really gotten him to struggle. I'm assuming the Patriots will go with similar zone style type of plans against the Bills as well. You can't man up on Buffalo. You just can't. The Saints tried to do it. They failed. There's too many weapons. Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, Manny Sanders, Cole Beasley. There's too many guys to play man coverage against. And Josh Allen's legs and his ability to extend plays with his legs kills you against man coverage as well. So this is a zone-heavy game.
Has to be.
Again, for the Patriots. And offensively, can you exploit what Indianapolis was able to exploit a few weeks ago? You're not going to run for 260 necessarily like the Colts did, but can you run the football against Buffalo? Can you incorporate play action off of the running game and make this a little bit more of a smoke and mirrors game in the passing game? Because this is a very, very, even without Tre'Davious White, a very, very good Buffalo pass defense, and they turn the ball over a lot. They pressure the quarterback a ton. If you go in there and you try to throw the ball 50 times against Buffalo, that's going to be a recipe for a very quick loss, right? That's going to be a recipe for disaster. So running the football, incorporating play action off the running game, trying to possess the ball, trying to run some clock, keep the ball out of Allen's hands. And that old, I wouldn't say it's a full Peyton Manning, right? Josh Allen isn't Peyton Manning, but back in the day when the Patriots had beat the Colts, it was 40 minutes time of possession, right? You know, that was sort of the type of game
plan. Make them grind it out, you know. Yeah. Don't let them eat up big chunks.
The Patriots want to grind this game. They don't want to try to get into a turf race with Buffalo, right? They don't want to try to get into a track meet with Buffalo. They will not win that game. So they have to make this a muddy, ugly, grinded out type of football game. And see if you show too high, see if Buffalo will run it. Right. Every single handoff, it seems like, for the Bills to Zach Moss or Devin Singletary, or they got Breida now trying to run the football because they can't run the football.
Moss
the
was a healthy scratch last week.
Yeah.
So
any Matt Breida run.
I mean, this Thursday
feels like a win for the Patriots defense. Right. Anytime that they run the football in Buffalo, that feels like a good thing.
Singletary is not an explosive player who's breaking a lot of tackles either. So you're right. And you want them to try to get the balls in the hands of their running backs for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so try to get that. Try to get into second and 10, third and 8, you know, situations where you can pin your ears back, run some of your exotics in the secondary, confuse Josh Allen with rotations and blitzes and different looks and things like that. That's what the Patriots need to do defensively to win this football game. But the Bills are going to spread you out. They're going to throw it. They're going to incorporate Allen's legs in certain ways. This is a modern NFL offense. This is not what you just played in the Tennessee Titans that are going to try to run the football down your throats. This is a completely different ball game.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be exciting. This is fun. I mean, if you thought, you know, you knew when the season started, there was two games against the Bills late in the season.
Yeah.
I don't think we expected the way the season started, the Patriots would be ahead of the Bills when they played this one the first time. You thought it would be you're going to have to beat these guys to get any chance of getting into the playoffs. They're in pretty good shape right now. And again, a split would be more than good enough given where the Patriots are. So you're hoping you can figure out a way. It is odd to have these games stacked up so close to one another, but
it's going to be fun too, because then you come back around and play Buffalo. So what happens the first time, I'm sure we'll get a completely different game the second time around, right? You know, it's going to be a completely different game plan. They're going to learn from the mistakes and try to cover up some of the things from a couple of weeks ago. And obviously that Colts game is going to be a tough one for the Patriots. I hate that matchup against the Colts. I hate it. I know some people think Carson Wentz.
Oh, God, I hate it.
But they can run the football. Frank Reich knows how to RPO you. He knows how to play action you. He knows how to move the pocket. They can run the ball. It's the same stylistically. It's the same offense that Eagles offense in 2017 ran. It's the same exact playbook as what they ran in 17. And what they do is they make it so easy on the quarterback, right? Carson Wentz is not doing a whole lot of thinking up here. This is not Mac Jones 5-read progression. Let's get through it all and make the right throw. This is design plays to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands as quickly as possible. And these are the types of schemes in Indianapolis that give the Patriots all sorts of fits. I mean, they can be designed well, I think, to stop Buffalo. Indianapolis is a really, really tough matchup for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all three of these games. This is a gauntlet sort of situation here. And you would have thought Tennessee was involved in that too, until again, they kind of, they lost all their offensive firepower. Interesting week in the AFC East. Before we wrap it, all four teams won. The Dolphins with a super impressive win today, absolutely destroying Cam Newton and the Panthers. How did we pick that one, Evan? I forget.
I think we picked the Panthers.
Newton, in fact, was benched in this game.
I heard, yes.
It's funny because I
don't want to troll them too much and get them back on my case, but I haven't heard a whole lot out of the Cam stands that were always in my mentions over the last season and over the offseason during the bye week and everything, right? Or during a training camp. I mean, I haven't heard a ton about how great Cam is and how the Patriots let Cam down. And I mean, we're not really hearing that chatter whole much.
Not as much. And again, You see Mac, and earlier in the year, I could see it because it was look like, you know, you were managing and dinking and dunking. People in New England are generally rooting for Cam Newton. This was just surprising watching this result after those last couple of weeks. The Dolphins win, the Jets beat the Texans. I think we got that one wrong too, Evan.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Sounds about right. I'm telling you, fade Lazar. Fade Lazar.
Fade Lazar at all costs. We did get the Patriots one right. So again, that's
We did. There we go.
That's a good one there.
I'm right on the Patriots, but other than that, fade Lazard.
Yeah.
And can I just say one more thing really quickly? Because I've seen it a bunch in the chat about Nelson Agholor and where is Nelson Agholor? And I know this is some inside football tape nerd type of stuff to say, but you can't truly understand Nelson Agholor's role in the offense watching it on the TV. It just doesn't really do it justice. And I understand that the box score numbers aren't there. I understand the production has been lousy. But if you watch the way that this Patriots offense plays and you start to think about, okay, how does Kendrick Bourne catch a crossing pattern and go 41 yards to the house afterwards? Or how does it feel like Hunter Henry always has a one-on-one in the middle of the field on third down and they are able to move the chains there? Or Jacoby Myers gets open on that sail concept. A lot of the times, Nelson Agholor is the one that's running up the field and taking coverage with him down the field and opening up space underneath for all the other guys to operate. Has it been worth the price tag that they paid him? Has he been worth the contract, so to speak? Maybe not in the box score. You could argue maybe you could have paid a little bit less for somebody else to do that, but teams are respecting Nelson Agholor's ability to get deep, and they're rolling that safety over the top, or they're dropping off coverage on his side of the field to make sure they stay over the top of his vertical routes. And it does consistently, week in and week out, open up space for people underneath the defense. And that's ultimately where the Patriots want to throw the football. If they wanted to be a high volume, deep passing attack, and I think Nelson Agholor's numbers would be a lot better. But because they want to be this short and intermediate efficient passing game, his role on the offense right now is to clear it out. That's it. He's clearing out space. He's running up the field and he's clearing out. I guarantee you the coaches think that Nelson Agholor is playing a lot better than the casual fan thinks. That's just looking at his fantasy football output. Random.
Yeah. I mean, it's less about, it's less about the numbers. It's more about, that'd be fine if he wasn't a high volume guy, if you'd see a play or two, or
I get it. Yeah.
And I think that's what's getting at people, which is why even talk about Jonnu today, just to see him make some plays is like, okay, because you know, it's there if you need it right now. I don't know if people know what they have in Agholor.
And he has not jumped off the screen at you in the respect that he's not getting so open that the targets are just coming in bunches for him down the field because he's running by people and demanding the targets. He's not that kind of deep threat. He's not Tyreek Hill. He's not, one of these players that's, oh my God, he's got 5 yards of separation behind the defense. I got to throw this ball up to him. But he's doing a nice job of playing the role in the offense that they're asking him to play. They paid him a lot of money to stretch the field. I get that, but that's kind of what he's doing right now.
Okay. We're going to wrap it up. I did want to say just ahead, I know many of you are Celtics fans, as you should be, and there's a game coming up tonight. So
again.
Well, yeah, I know. It's
The Celtics coverage and just share in the misery if it is misery again. But watch our Celtics coverage because they do a great job. I have trouble watching the games, John. I'm not gonna lie, because it makes me want to pull my hair out in frustration.
I know.
But that's for a different show. So go ahead and let the Celtics guys talk about it.
No, that's exactly it. Tune in for the Celtics guys tonight. Yeah. And again, it's as we've said, it's as much group therapy as it is game analysis, and an opportunity to vent. And who knows? But yeah, it's been, you covered the Patriots all last year, Evan. You have an idea what it's like watching, roller coasters, teams, and
yeah.
Was this the real thing, or are they good? Are they bad? Are they good? Are they bad? Right. It's a really tough team right now. But again, there's a lot to talk about. It makes it that much more interesting because you really don't know what's going to happen. And you are looking to see things, change and be different. And again, what I will say is you did have a little bit of a subtle Emay call out last game. So you wonder how people respond. And again, it's a lot of this stuff seems to be, kind of pointed at the stars, particularly Tatum, and in some cases Brown, to kind of be a little bit different than they've been right now and maybe lead this team in a different way. But we'll see what they do tonight. Tatum seemed a little bit irked by the criticism last game. I'm curious how he responds tonight. So they're taking on Toronto. you know, up in Toronto should be a good game. And then Philly on Wednesday. So obviously Celtics All Access or our main YouTube channel for the live stream of these post-game shows coming up immediately after the game. It's none of this wait for Lazar to get out of the locker room stuff. We just go, baby. which is all good.
That's fired.
As for Evan, he'll have something up on clnsmedia.com on yes, tonight's game, plus much more stuff coming throughout the week, including Patriots Beat. Are we Tuesday this week?
Tuesday this week, probably Tuesday, Thursday again, although the Monday night game, they're really screwing us with the scheduling, you know, Monday night game, Thanksgiving week, you know, Thursday night game. So I think Tuesday, Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, Tuesday, Friday. Good. So we've got that Patriots Beat. So make sure, again, you subscribe to all of our stuff, all of our YouTube channels, so you can catch that stuff live. Patriots win 36-13, 8-4, could be the one seed by the end of the night, which is crazy. Thanks for hanging out with us.